woke up this morning with one thing on my mind. How good is my Savior? Time after time, and I wonder where I'd be if it wasn't for your love. Lost, undone, and guilty without your precious blood. Calls me to hither loving kindness in the morning. Calls me to hither loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. For in thee do I trust. Calls me to know the way wherein I should long. For I lift up my heart unto thee as I remember the Christmas story. Angels shining bright, glory to God in the highest. Yes, the Savior is born tonight. I can almost see the shepherds as they ran to tell the good news. We've seen Jesus, the Messiah. Don't you want to see him too? Calls me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Calls me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. For in thee do I trust. Calls me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good, lead me into a land of a brightness. I woke up this morning with one thing on my mind. How good is my Savior? Time after time, and I wonder where I'd be if it wasn't for your love. Lost, undone, and guilty without your precious blood. Calls me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Calls me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. For in thee do I trust. Calls me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my heart unto thee. For I lift up my heart unto thee.
Thank you, Lawrence. Turn again, if you will, to Matthew chapter 12. As you know, we've been going through the book of Matthew on Sunday mornings, and we have come to chapter 12 this morning. And not really a Christmas message in the sense that we're telling the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, but the title of the message this morning is Life Without Christ. And as we think about Christmas, can you imagine what life would be like had Christ not come, had not come to Bethlehem, had not gone to Calvary? We don't want to think about it, do we? Try to imagine what it would be like, because it wouldn't be pleasant there. I am thankful that Christ did come and we have life with Christ. And as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, we're going to see a world without forgiveness. Then we're going to see words without profit, and then wickedness without repentance. As we see, there are some here in this passage that are without Christ. They don't have life in Christ. And whenever we come to trust Christ, when we not just acknowledge that He is the baby Jesus that came to earth, but when we acknowledge Him from the heart as Lord and Savior, He gives us eternal life. And it's not just a life in heaven after we die. Eternal life is not just a quantity of life, but it is also a quality of life that we have even now as we know and serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we look into Your Word this morning, we know that Your Holy Spirit is our guide into truth, and that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And we pray that as we look into Your Word, that we would see the truth of Your Word, that we might be able to apply it to our hearts, that we might be better equipped to serve You in the days ahead this coming week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at the first part of this, we're going to see a world without forgiveness. And that's something also that we don't want to think about. In verse 32, it says at the end of it, "It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." And so stop and think for just a minute of not having forgiveness for your sins in this world and in the world to come. As Jesus is there among them, in verse 23, He is called the Son of David. The people answered and they were amazed and said, "Is not this the Son of David?" And this is indeed a messianic title. It's a title that the Old Testament said that Jesus Christ would come. Christ is the Messiah. As you know, Christ is the New Testament word for the Old Testament word Messiah. And the Old Testament prophesied that Jesus would come as the Savior of the world, the Christ. He's the Son of David. He is not the Son in the sense that we as Americans think of son, but son in the sense of descendant. I think you understand that from the other teachings of Scripture there. He is the heir to the throne. That is what the Son of David is. But He didn't come to earth the first time to sit on a throne. He came the first time as a humble servant. But He's coming back again. And when He comes back the next time, He's going to establish His kingdom there. And we look forward to that. So in verse 24, the Pharisees said, "This fellow," speaking of Jesus, "does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." In the Old Testament, the Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, was actually referred to as the Lord of the flies there. And here He is, Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, and He is at war with the Prince of Peace. Aren't you glad that we serve the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life? And there's a war going on. There's a war going on there. There's a war going on not just with Islam, but there's a war going on with Islam today. And I don't mean just with people killing each other. I mean spiritual battles taking place, because there's only one way of salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Islam doesn't preach and promote that, and neither do a lot of other religions. But Jesus is the only way there. And because of that, there's war. But whenever we look at a world without forgiveness, the first thing we're going to see, it's a world of desolation. It tells us in verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts. First thing it says, you know, He knows ours this morning as well. Knows what we're thinking at all times. And He said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." And that means to be laid at waste, totally deserted, laid at waste, and permanently destroyed. And that's what hell is. People that die without forgiveness go to hell for all eternity. They are a place of desolation. A lot of times people joke and say, "Well, that's where I want to go because that's where all my friends are going to be," and they make light of it. But they don't understand that it's not going to be like that at all, is it? It's going to certainly be a place of desolation. They're totally deserted by God. There'll be no peace. There'll be no life. There'll be no light. There'll be no joy. It'll be a place of desolation. Verse 26, not only will it be a place of desolation, but it will be a place of division. When Jesus came, He came to unite us to God. And we are united to God through Him. But in verse 26, it says, if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. Satan loves to divide, doesn't he? He loves to divide homes. He loves to divide and split churches. He loves to divide us from being in God's Word. He loves to do everything he can that will separate or divide us from our fellowship with God. And he is constantly at war to do that. And hell is not only a place of desolation, but hell is a place of eternal division, separation from God. That's what spiritual death is. Spiritual death is dying physically without Christ as Savior and being separated from God for all eternity. A world without forgiveness is a world of desolation. It's a world of division. It's also, in verses 27 and 28, it's a world of devils or demons, because we know that that's why God created hell, isn't it? The Bible tells us that it was created for the devil and his demons, his followers there. We understand that there's only one devil. As we read it in our King James Bible, it says devils, plural. That's the word for demon. There's one devil, Satan, Lucifer, as he was called, and he has a lot of followers there as well. He was cast out of heaven. He was separated. He was divided from God whenever he rebelled against God, and he is forever an outcast. And what a terrible thing it would be to have a world of no forgiveness, a world of desolation and division and spending eternity in hell, in the lake of fire with all of the demons that are there as well. But in verses 29 and 30, it says Jesus is talking to them as they're making these accusations against his healing. And he said, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And so here's the picture of a strong man being bound and somebody coming in and taking his spoils and defeating him. And so we see also that a world without forgiveness is a world of defeat. Christ doesn't want us to be defeated. Even in times of circumstances that are not pleasant that we go through, we don't have to be defeated. Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He talks about going in and binding or tying up a strong man and then spoiling the goods and getting the victory there. And Christ has won the victory for us. When he died on the cross, Satan is the strong man, so to speak, and we're no match for him. But Christ overcame Satan. And he did indeed bind him, and he defeated him, and the victory that Christ won on the cross of Calvary is our victory as well. And we don't have to let sin bind us and defeat us, because Christ has set us free from that. When we come to trust him and accept his forgiveness, we don't have to have a life of desolation and division and with devils and defeat, and devastation is next, you see, in verses 31. He says, wherefore I say unto you, notice these next two words, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. Aren't you glad that all manner of sin can be forgiven? It doesn't matter how great it is. It doesn't matter what sins it may be. All matter is, doesn't say every individual sin, but he uses the term all manner, which means that he is grouping all sins all together into one lump sum and says all of it can be forgiven. And I'm so glad that no matter from what pits of sin we may have come and what we may have done in our past lives, there is forgiveness in Christ. All we have to do is receive what he has given to us. It says here, those next words, shall be forgiven. The word forgiven means to send away. And so whenever we come to Christ and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, he takes those sins and he sends them away. He buries them in the deepest sea. He sends them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. All manner of sin shall be forgiven in this world and in the world to come. But imagine a world, as it talks about in verse 32, where it says, and whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, he shall be forgiven him. That is Jesus, the Son of Man, not the Son of David, as he's called earlier, but this refers to his humanity here. He indeed is human. He was 100% man, and yet he was 100% God. He was the Son of David. He is the Son of Man as well. But it says in verse 32 that whoever speaks a word against the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven him. Not in this world, not in the world to come. Now there are many, many books and many, many sermons written on what is called the unpardonable sin. It doesn't use that particular phrase here in the scripture, but it talks about a sin that won't be forgiven. And many people write about that and have different views to that. And I'll give you mine. We looked at this when we went through the other gospel books as well when it was presented there. But as I read the scriptures and compare scripture with scripture, and I look and see why would sins against Christ be forgiven, but sins against the Holy Spirit not be forgiven? They're both God, aren't they? And my take on that, and feel free to differ if you choose to do so there. It talks about speaking against the Holy Spirit there. It's a sin of words. And it may be silent words, it may be thoughts, because we saw earlier in verse 25 that Jesus knew their thoughts. And the reason I think that this sin is not forgiven is because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, there are a lot of ministries of the Holy Spirit, but one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to draw people to Christ. We can't go to Christ when we want to. If Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning about being saved and you've never been saved and you say, no, I think I'll wait till later, the Holy Spirit may not speak to you later. So to speak the words no to the Holy Spirit and refuse the gift of salvation that he's offering, when a person says no to the Holy Spirit, who is the one, the part of the Trinity that woos us and draws us to Christ, if a person says no to him, there's not forgiveness. We don't come to God on our own terms. At our own time, we come to God when the Holy Spirit of God draws us to Christ. And whoever says no to that has no forgiveness in this world and no forgiveness in the world to come. What a sad life. Aren't you glad that you've been forgiven this morning? If you have, say amen. Amen. We've been forgiven. There's no devastation. Let's look at words without profit. So Jesus knows their thoughts. He listens to their words. And in verse 33, he said, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. It is apparent. I mean, you can go by, and you can go by a tree. My parents, where they built their house when we were growing up, we had two peach trees in the front yard, and we had seven apple trees on the side, nine pecan trees. We had a grapevine in the back and plum trees. And I mean, I was a kid, and I had no idea what kind of trees those were, except I saw the fruit. And I knew which tree to get the apple or which tree to get the peach, not because of the way the tree looked. Now, later as we grow, we might be able to identify the tree even if there's no fruit. But I knew what kind of tree it was because of what kind of fruit was on it. And we can identify believers as well because of the fruit there. The Bible says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about a tree of life, and a tree of life bears righteous life. Those of us who have trusted Christ and He's given us life, one of the fruits of a tree of life is life. And God gives us eternal life, and that is known for all the world to see. We don't go around and condemn someone and say, that person's not saved and he's going to hell. But we can look at fruit, and if a person's life doesn't show fruit of the Spirit, then very likely the Holy Spirit's not in the heart to begin with. Because fruit of the Spirit is not manipulated by man. It's not artificial fruit. It is fruit that the Spirit brings forth, and we know believers by their fruit. But we see not only are words without profit apparently known, it's very apparent when we look at the fruit, they are abundantly stored. And notice where they're stored. They're stored in the heart. It says, O generation of vipers, bunch of snakes. Jesus was pretty clear on what he was saying. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things there. And so the words that we speak, they reveal the heart. They don't determine the heart, they don't make the heart, but they do reveal what is in the heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? And so the heart brings forth good words. The heart brings forth good actions. We can know fruit by looking at it. What kind of fruit do vipers bring forth there? They don't bring forth good things, do they? They have the venom. They are deadly there. Salvation is a heart issue, isn't it? It's not just a matter of looking at all the religions of the world and reading about the religions and choosing what religion I want to follow. That's an academic exercise. But salvation is something of the heart, where we trust Christ with the heart and He saves us. And then we have forgiveness of sin. We have life. We have words with profit, because we can edify others. Because one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit as He gives gifts to us as believers is to build up others in the faith. Then we see in verses 36 and 37 something else about words that have no profit. They are accountable in judgment. He says, I say unto you that every idle word... Ever had an idle word? Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by their words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Does that mean that the things I say will justify me, or what I say can save me? No, but it's an evidence of what has already taken place in the heart. Notice the verse that I have up here from Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation there. And so when God does a work in our hearts, we just can't help but tell it to one others that the forgiveness I have in Christ, you can have as well. This word idle, I ask you if you've ever had an idle word. The word idle is a word that just has the word work with the negative in front of it. So it means without work, words without work. And that's why the Bible tells us that we ought not just to have words only, but there ought to be some work. Be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we need to talk the talk and walk the walk, as the little song says. And we need to have words that are edifying, because one day people are going to stand to be judged for how they have received or not received the Holy Spirit as He has spoken to them, and how they have accepted Christ into their heart and how the heart has been changed. Notice the word condemn before we go on to our final point. He says, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Judgment will be brought down. When a judge is sitting at his bench there, and someone is standing before the judge is pronouncing the sentence, and he is higher in position physically, and he's higher in authority as well. And he pronounces that judgment down if the person is guilty. And that's what this is saying, that those without Christ who have never received forgiveness, they're going to receive the condemnation from Christ Himself, and they will be accountable to God. And the last thing we see is wickedness without repentance. Here they say to Jesus, show us a sign. The Pharisees in verse 38, and the scribes, Master, we want to see a sign from thee. And that's what unbelieving people demand. Jesus referred to them in verse 39 as an adulterous generation. He had been doing miracle after miracle after miracle, and they still didn't believe. And they said, show us a sign. And James 4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enemy with God? And so here were these scribes and Pharisees, and they were friends with the world, and Jesus had done plenty of signs for them to believe, but they wouldn't believe. And then Jesus says in verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so not only do these people demand some kind of miracle, but also they are denying the resurrection. And remember the story in Luke where the rich man and Lazarus is there, and the rich man died and he went to hell, and he said, send me to my father's house. I have five brethren, so that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And there are some people today, there is one who's risen from the dead, and some people still do not believe. They deny the resurrection. Here he gives the example of Jonah, and in verse 40 he talks about the whale's belly. This is the only place where that fish is called a whale. And we know in the Old Testament, and even this word here, it refers to some huge sea creature. It may have been a whale as we know them today, but it may have been a special fish that's not like what we have today. So we know that. So here's the Son of Man, the son of David, speaking to them about something in history. The story of Jonah and the story of the Queen of Sheba that we'll see in a little bit, they're not just parables. They actually happen in history. And the last thing we'll see is wickedness without repentance brings condemnation. Jesus said in verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And so here he talks about there's a condemnation. Back in verse 30, he said, he that is not with me is against me. There are only two sides. We are either in Christ or we're outside of Christ. We have either repented and had forgiveness of sins, or we haven't repented. Notice the two examples he gives. the men of Nineveh. In Jonah 3:5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God. And what did they do after that? They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. Sackcloth was a sign that repentance had taken place. And oftentimes they would even put ashes on their head as well. So they believed, they repented, and then what happened? 5 verses later, in verse 10, God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. They weren't saved because of their works, but they had works because they had believed. When a person believes in Christ in the heart, we know their fruit because of the tree. Whenever they've been saved, there's a fruit of words. There's a fruit of actions as well. And even today, there are some who claim to be Christians, but look at their lives, an evil life. And it is not fruit of the Holy Spirit within. And one final thing, and I'll finish up here. The Queen of Sheba that came to Solomon, it says she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But when Jesus was speaking in John 6, he said it's the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that gives life, that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said, they're greater than the words of Solomon. Because he said in this passage, there's a greater than Jonah that's here. There's a greater than Solomon that's here. And the words that Jesus speaks are words of life, wonderful words of life. They're spirit and they're life. Aren't you glad that we don't have to have a life without Christ? A life without Christ, in closing, is a life without forgiveness. It is a life without profit, just like the words with no profit. There's no usefulness to a life without Christ. And it is also a life without repentance. For those who are belonging to Christ have done like Nineveh. They have believed God, then they have repented of their sins, and God has changed their life. God has given forgiveness, and Nineveh was not destroyed there. Nineveh received the words of Jonah. They believed and repented. Have you received the living words of Christ, words that give eternal life? If not, we invite you to do so. What a wonderful opportunity we have as the Holy Spirit of God convicts hearts and says, you need to trust Christ. Have you done that? If not, you have opportunity today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God and for the constant work he does in our hearts. Even after we're saved and we have responded to the gospel invitation, that the Holy Spirit of God continues to convict us of sin. That's one of his ministries. And Lord, we thank you that whenever we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we don't like to think of a world without forgiveness. But Lord, there are some who have not experienced your forgiveness. Help us to be faithful messengers of the gospel of Christ, that all manner of sin can be forgiven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.